I think to myself as a 20-year-old, you know, this is circa 2004, just to paint a picture. And I'm in Terre Haute, Indiana. And I think, what can I get that when I'm still old, I remember thinking that, I will still love. And my first thought was, oh, my favorite sports team.
So, oh, yeah. I know. I know. I remember now.
PNU.
Oh, I know.
PNU. I remembered as soon as I asked. I was like, oh, yeah. She's got the tramp stamp that says PNU right above her ass.
With some of, I can say, my worst work.
What in tarnation?
This weekend, October 11th and 12th, I'm in Des Moines, Iowa at the Funny Bone, co-headlining with Cam Bertrand. So you get two headliners for the price of one. So don't miss that. Come see us this weekend. Next week, I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee at the Comedy Catch for the Lookout Comedy Festival. October 18th, I'm back with Cam Bertrand, co-headlining in Manchester, Connecticut. October 23rd, I will be in St. Louis, Missouri. I have dates all the way through the end of the year. I'm not going to tell you all of them. I will tell you, though, January 31st, Gramercy Theater, New York City, two shows, one night. I'm filming my special. Homeless Pimp is going to be there to capture it all. But January 31st, Gramercy Theater, New York City, along with all of my other dates, ajwilkerson.com. You can go get your tickets now.
Do you remember in Portland at the True where you tried to tell me at the start of the trip that you weren't going to smoke because the VA was going to test you? And I looked at you at the start like, that's insane. Don't do that in immediate. You retreated off that bad idea, thank God.
Yeah.
Or that would have been miserable.
It would have been. I'm just going to grab a detox and detox.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to pass the drug test to get Adderall. You just have to take the drug test. Mm. Even if it pops for weed, they can still prescribe you Adderall.
Well, they just
give
you
what she said.
Just disc. I think maybe she's just trying to scare you.
Yeah, she's just trying to scare you. But still, was she the doctor or was she the lady scheduling you?
No, she was the psychiatrist prescribing it.
So you just get a different psychiatrist.
Yeah.
They got like three of them.
Take another one.
Yep.
Three for the whole military is crazy.
Or I just...
And I know it's more than that, but it's not also a ton of people as you're
and
aware.
All you gotta fly on your face. All you do is the same thing I did in Kansas City. Is they're like, well, they're like, you popped for marijuana on your drug test. I was like, I told you beforehand I was going to pop for marijuana on my drug test. I travel to legal states. I have a medical marijuana card in the legal state that I moved here from. I've been prescribed marijuana for my brain. You don't have to like it. I'm not getting the marijuana from you. I am getting my Adderall from you because I'm a disabled veteran. So you can give me my Adderall and I'm going to go get my other meds elsewhere, just like everybody else. You don't prescribe NyQuil either, but people take pain pills and then go pop NyQuil or put it in their Sprite.
That's crazy.
That is just wild.
Yeah.
It really, the American healthcare system
is a wild
joke.
Yeah, it is.
But I can't even find funny parts about it, I think, which makes it less joke and more like, what the fuck?
Well, and like we were talking about the other night after that show when you were talking to that other veteran about going outside of the VA for mental health care.
Yeah, he needed to hear that.
Because, and when we were talking afterwards, I was like, VA mental health care is like trying to get a CTE diagnosis from an NFL doctor.
Yeah.
It's like, that is against their job description. Their job is to discredit CTE and brain injury things for NFL players.
That's like even
it's the same thing with the VA. Yeah.
Even me as a civilian, I understand that to be like trying to get my rapist to, you know, be like, Oh, yeah, like sign a confessional for me to be able to get
exactly
a rape kit. Like, are you wild? Are you wild? I have to get Terry to put his John Hancock on a piece of paper to get a swab in my pussy. No way. That's crazy. And that's how the American healthcare system feels. You're like, well, I got a toothache and now I might die. Sorry, I'm going to smoke. Shit.
I was doing what I did when I was a truck driver and get my quick fix and walk in there with it in my crotch and dump it in my cup and be like, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, there's no Adderall in there? Yeah, it's because I've been on my prescription for the past month because you ding-dongs didn't want to fucking prescribe it to me until I took this dumb drug test.
Got me. I've been severely under-medicated, even though I know just in general that's good.
I guess that is the other point. It's very easy to fake a VIP test. They don't have like a meat watcher. Yeah.
No, meat watcher.
No one working the delicatessen counter.
If you've ever played like organized sports at like any level above Little League or been in the military sometimes, like if you get hurt in the military and you go to take a piss test at like a military hospital, somebody's going in the bathroom with you.
Yeah.
But the VA hospital, they don't give a shit. You're not going back to war.
Well, even I played high school sports, not well, but I did. And we never had to have any like drug tests at all at that level.
Got drug tested at public school in Newberry. Really? I went to a private Christian school and I got drug tested 4 times in 1 year.
Well, they were just picking on you.
Yeah, yeah, that's wild.
Well, my mom let me get a tattoo after my 18th birthday.
Shout out to your mom. She rips.
And when the school found out, the school was like, if you get a tattoo, we'll expel you.
That's crazy.
And I was like, okay, cool. I won't get a tattoo then. And then I showed up for the next game and they couldn't check for my tattoo. They're like, well, we can't see it visibly and we can't like legally ask you to undress to look for it. So instead, why don't you go over here and take a drug test?
That's so
because
crazy.
That's how some Christians think. They're like, oh, if you got a tattoo, they had to have drugged you.
That's insane.
Well, I mean, okay. You're aware. My dad is a pastor. Always has been. Still is. Mom. Asian, always has been, still is.
That'd be wild if she was an anamorph or something.
Yeah. Bro,
Jewish now,
the
but
times, they are a-changing, okay, folks? So, whatever mom wants to be, good on you, bitch. I love you. But historically, they've never been okay with tattoos. They don't have one, either one of them. Even though my dad was a Yahoo before he found Jesus, yeah, he still managed to get Yahoo out of there. Yahoo.
What, is that code for something?
Just kind of like a jack
off. Oh, okay.
Just
gotcha.
Just a like young go hard,
like,
you know.
The, like the fuck, what's his name? The sketch guy. Timothy
Robinson?
Yes, Tim Robinson.
Oh yeah.
Tim Robinson, like the
I think you should leave.
Oh, you used to it's okay, the baby doesn't like me. He knows I used to be a piece of shit.
Yes. Just a
I remember
my dad used the word Yahoo. So like I got a lot of fucked up expressions from him, and you know, I was growing up in the '80s and nineties in Indiana. I mean, he taught me, my pastor dad taught me an expression for like queers that I still remember from childhood, which is like, he was like, oh, calling somebody gay, like in code, you'd be like, he's queerer than a $2 bill.
Mm-hmm.
Or
that's not a code.
Or
that's a saying.
Queer is in the saying.
Well,
that's not a secret code for anything.
That looks like
I
a retarded board over
I
there.
Dumber
than a doornail.
Well, that's another one. You make a
you
better.
You cannot be say retarded boy.
Do you want to know what has been funny to me ever since I learned about it?
Yes.
You're familiar with VeggieTales?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what the VeggieTales code for a homosexual is?
What?
Fish slapper.
I remember
that's a code.
No,
that sounds like a lesbian.
Well, it's from like the Veggie Tales, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
They call the sodomites fish slappers.
That's insane.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, am I butchering what my dad said? queer than a
no, that's a phrase.
That's the expression.
No,
yeah, that's
that
expression.
Is an expression.
So I've that's the that. Expression.
Queer than a
but yeah,
meal.
It's definitely, it's extremely heavy-handed. It's not, but the other one was queer than a football bat.
That's still says from here.
I yeah. know.
Also, both of those sayings were from before homosexuality, when queer still just meant weird.
Yeah.
So that guy's queer than a $2 bill. Be like, that guy's weirder than a $2 bill.
Yeah, like,
yeah. Stranger, more rare,
more
uncommon.
Rare.
Uncommon.
Yes.
Exactly.
100%.
That dude's stranger than a football bat. And it's like, yeah, because football bats shouldn't exist. And
100%.
It's like, oh, that's your.
But I just mean, I think what I'm really trying to get at with these expressions is that, like, my pastor dad should not have been the one saying those to me.
No.
Well, yeah. No.
No.
Not at
you
all.
Know, like, I could have learned that from Ricky at the, you know, at the BMW. I didn't need Pastor Tom being the person who is telling me some of this, which is explains why I do what I do. But this all goes back to them just not being fans of tattoos, but they can't stop me now.
Good.
Pour one out for the homies.
Yeah. My dad told me that if I wanted to get a tattoo, I had to do it out when I wasn't living with him anymore, or else I wouldn't have a place to live.
Yeah. Well, I ended up not getting it in high school. I ended up not getting it until I did join the Army, but it was because of all of that.
What age were you when you finally got it?
I was 19.
So they
I turned 19 in basic training and then got it as soon as I got to AIT, as soon as I was
allowed
off base.
What was your first tat?
A scripture verse.
Dude, same.
Huh?
Tell me which
Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through yoke that strengthens me.
Mine was Psalm 144:1. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle.
Bubby, I know that scripture.
And
because...
blows walls on top of you before yeah, you can use either.
It's right there.
I know.
I know the backside.
Yeah, no, I have mine's on the other side. But
I
have a similar.
That's your first one?
No, this was my second
there
one.
There is no okay. greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. Banger.
Yeah.
Banger.
I got this yep. before I knew I was getting deployed.
Out of my 17 tats now, none are scriptures yet, but my kid sister's first tattoo, she got my favorite scripture just tatted down her spine like a slutty little saint. And it just says, to whom much is given, much is required. And it's still my favorite one, but it's like hilarious that y'all have also just...
I love that that's on passages. Her back.
Oh, the best. Of course. I mean, what else to
so
do?
So some guy just is looking at it, is like, well, much has been given.
Yes.
Maybe. Or more is required.
Yeah.
Is usually it's what like, I found to be the case with my bedmates.
That's the weirdest tattoo you have.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, that's hard to say. Before I stopped drinking, like maybe 15 or 17, I've gotten in sobriety. But two came before, and they look like it. you guys, because you're good at this, we'll can attach a pictures close up of these later so people can really get the graininess of it. But my first tattoo, I was 20 years old, Terre Haute, Indiana. And I was just finally out of my parents' house, pastor, dad, Asian mom. I was like, okay, I'm free. I can get a tattoo. And I'm like, what do I want? I remember really thinking about it and being like, Hannah, choose thoughtfully. You're going to have this for the rest of your life.
Hello, Kitty.
I wish.
Wait. Go ahead. I remember.
So I think to myself as a 20-year-old, you know, this is circa 2004, just to paint a picture. And I'm in Terre Haute, Indiana. And I think, what can I get that when I'm still old, I remember thinking that, I will still love. And my first thought was, oh, my favorite sports team.
So, oh, yeah, I know. I know. I remember now.
So I got a little, I got my three favorite sports teams, which are a weird combination because the way dad's fandom was. And, you know, we're in Indiana, so one is the Pacers, favorite NBA team. One is the Colts, you know, football. And then there's the Yankees. Dad was raised in the Mantle era. That's just the way it is. But instead of even maybe just letting an artist in Terre Haute, Indiana, strong word, do a, you know, his thoughts about what these logos should look like, as a non-drawing artist, I drew it out. And I drew a little Pacers P, K, in the old school logo, the NY, K, and then the little horseshoe. I'll never forget the drawing. So bad.
P-N-U.
P-N-U. Oh, I know.
P-N-U. I remembered as soon as I asked. I was like, oh, yeah, she's got the tramp stamp that says P-N-U right above her ass.
With some of, I can say, my worst work.
Is it, though? Is it? Because it sounds like your best work.
Well, I'm smart. The way you guys hype me up, it makes me feel like everything I'm doing is for good.
I love it.
But the point is, that's one. And the second one is, I was also still drinking. It was a little bit before I got sober, but much after that. I think the PNU got so, it got me so frazzled, as it should, because it's that. I did not get more tats for a while. And I think I was also just drunk and didn't have the money. And then I started being in association with a tattoo artist. And so, like, now I'm on a Framley plan so I can just get doodled on.
A Framley plan.
I am a Framley plan. He is. Shout out Framley. To Adam. You're literally a G. Thank you for drawing on me. He went to art school. He can, so.
Well, see if he's got something to cover up that P in you.
He totally
you
could.
You can never cover it up.
But something in me, like, the way, you know, we're showing the verses, it's like, no matter if our theology has been, you know, updated or our firmware, you know, changed a little bit, it's like, let's let it live. It's
that
like,
has to be the name of your first special.
What?
So you know.
P and you?
Hannah Rushline. P and you.
That's an easy one.
The cover is literally just your tramp, yes! Like your tramp stamp. The yes. cover is literally like,
yeah, and
the
then
over the back.
That's the easiest thing to write, and you could easily produce it because, listen, I've already have, I mean, all of the tats I have are kind of like nonsensical. And some of them have meaning. You know, I have, like, I can tell you about, like, what it all is, but it would be fun to just on that talk about that kind of stuff and, like, just a storytelling, more of, like, a short little thing of just like talking about the tats, being goofy.
What is that?
Blending
one mean?
It. So this one is All Is Mine.
I thought it just said aim.
It does.
And I was like, are you left-handed?
No, it's also to let people know, you know, hey, I'm 41. I look like a little toddler or whatever, just tinkering about. But this is Instant Messenger. It kind of like felt like a throwback to me.
Oh, yeah.
But I was reading the Hermetic philosophy from ancient Egypt. And one of the biggest tenements is all is mind, which is the higher self. So you reading that stuff we did before the show, which was creepy and cool. I definitely went into that show on that energy and I was like, okay.
And then we walked into the most trippiest venue I've ever been to.
Oh, gosh.
And you had to cold open.
Oh yeah.
I'm staring at murals that are just darkness personified. If I felt suicidal, I went on stage with just like heavy tones. Edgar yeah. Allan Poe.
When lives. Did when did Cobain perform here? Because I'm starting to put two and two together. Yeah. Do you know
he
what
went
I mean?
To Seattle it's right days after. Before. Yickety yak. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a far ride from Seattle. You know what I mean? If he did a little pop up and he's like, well, that's it for me.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Man, it's literally like it's a two level green room, which was also strange.
Yeah, the green room was cool.
Like, it was like it was cool.
Shower.
It was cool.
Yeah,
the top was cool. It was like a regular green room, and then we were like, "Oh, there's more." And then there's like a downstairs into like a bat cave, bigger green room.
Yeah, we're talking about the Spanish ballroom and McMenamin's
in
Tacoma. Yeah. By the way, that's
very
a
cool
venue. It's got seven different levels. There's like a tiki bar on one. There's a hidden bar on another. There's a gift shop. There's a hotel. There's the event center. It's insane.
I did comedy in there. I bought Sydney a rock cloud in there. I managed to get lost in there. Like I said, there was a time in my thoughts where I was like, ooh, if I was too high or on shrooms,
that's what the craziest thing.
I would either have the best time in this rabbit hole or I'd be on a bad trip. And
there were literally people coming up and down the stairs that were like, where are we?
I know. Yeah. No,
there
was
a
surreal.
Guy that took shrooms that I ran into before the show started. And then during my set, I just randomly was like, how's that guy doing that took shrooms? And then I just went. And then I talked about how that is the weirdest place to do shrooms. That was like, there's like tarot cards on the side.
I think that's the problem. I think the problem is he took shrooms before he got there, not knowing what he was walking into either.
Yeah. He had to leave. I watched when I was in
the room. From the facade, as you know, it looks like it could be a restoration hardware or like an old Parisian building. It was stunning. Yeah. Like, shout outs to McNenamins.
It's very beautiful.
People told me about it later after that Tacoma show, and they were like giving me a little history. And they were like, there are 75 locations of McNenamins, and they go into wherever they are and they renovate something that was already there.
Old.
And as you can see, they updated it. Like, they had a boutique hotel in there. Oh, yeah. That's why I was totally tripped, because I was like, there's too much happening in here for my ADHD. And also, sometimes I just get very
same. I opened that like weird, the downstairs doorway in the green room, and it just went into a hotel, and it didn't look like it looked like a hotel, but then there were like individual names written on all of the doors. And I was like, oh, people like live here. That's weird. I thought I went somewhere else.
Every room has a name.
But yeah. I also think it's not even that anyone's living down there, because I saw a dude, because I went out into that hallway to kind of explore. I found some paper plates and I was using them on the doors so I could try to get back if I got lost.
Even though the code was in the code.
Like, legitimately, like setting like a, like, oh, I'm going deep into the woods. And I'm like, I'm going two hallways away, but I'm high and I get lost easy. But I started squirreling around, and that's when a dude popped up and I got freaked out, because he was like, had a roller bag. And I thought to myself, oh, maybe these are like special suites. And they're like, because I started reading those signs. And so all through these properties, too, they did a good job of like showing old pictures of like the Elks Club and what that used to do. They're like, here's the toy drives. And they're like 1950s shit. But also, I think this used to be Opera Alley in Tacoma. So I think those were the names of former opera like superstars that might have gone through that Spanish ballroom. And they were using those as potentially like specialty suites.
Got you.
But every room in that hotel has a name, because that couple that we rode the elevator with afterwards said that they were staying in the blank blank room. I don't remember.
She made a Sarah Marshall, forgetting Sarah Marshall joke. She's like, we're in the Kapua suite. And it made us laugh in the elevator. I was like, LOL, what a clown.
Which also, the mural in the elevator was insane, too.
Oh, that was really creepy.
It was like,
all very well done, except for that one lady.
Yeah.
Face was melting.
Yeah. But the one who told me this history of these renovations also told me that they work really hard to partner with local artists. So even those, the murals that are in there are done by Tacoma-based artists. And you were telling me you've been there before a bunch. And, you know, just being like so many theaters.
Yeah, it's a very big, like, art, like, performance town.
It's really cool.
They really like entertainment.
That bookstore, too.
Oh, my God.
Bookstore is dope.
What was the name of that bookstore?
I think Tacoma Used Books or Tacoma Books something. But it was just...
I think it was just Tacoma Used Books.
Yeah.
Right by the dome.
The largest used bookstore in Washington State. We stumbled in there after Alfred's.
And on the outside, it does not look like that.
No.
On the outside, there were like two racks of books, and it was like 25-cent books. And we were like, oh, cool. We'll pop in here and see what they have. And then you go in, and it's like, magic library. It's bigger on the inside. What in the Doctor Who is going on here?
It goes, there's so many like nooks and crannies. I didn't even make it back to like the history section. No. And it's like, it's from floor to ceiling.
It's a maze. It's a book maze.
And the thing is, as we were talking, just like in that Spanish ballroom, I can get easily overwhelmed. And I think I've clearly always been this way since a child, but now being older and being able to be like, hey, you don't have to move around like that anymore. The second I walked into said maze, being like this historical book lover, similar to y'all, I took a quick look and I just went, go to one place where you know you want to find these books. Like, go look in the religious section where you want to be. Get some Kundalini books or books on breath and higher consciousness. So I legitimately, they saw stuff in that bookstore. If someone had a gun to my head and they were like, sketch out the books, I'd be like, uh-oh, kill me. Because I only made it this far. And I made it like...
You didn't even... You literally turned left and stayed there.
I never... You know. Yeah. Where you saw me, I did not move from there except to get a stool to look higher on the same shelves.
Like, I thought,
oh my God.
Yeah. Crazy. I walked in, I asked for like a specific shelf. I was looking for Edgar Rice Burroughs stuff.
Okay.
And what's like,
that? He's the guy that wrote all of the like John Carter of Mars books and stuff. Tarzan.
Okay.
Tarzan. But I've been collecting the John Carter of Mars books. So I went to that section and immediately I turned like around a corner and I was like, oh, I have to backtrack from here or I won't make it out.
Yeah.
So I literally found what I was looking for and then just retraced my steps back to the desk. That was the other weird part. If you took more than one turn, there was nobody to help you.
Yeah, no.
Like, not like, not just like, like, oh, you could like find an associate or something like that. More than two turns and you were gone.
You were lost. You remember inside after two turns?
I went upstairs.
There's upstairs?
Yeah, I went up to the little stairs to the poetry and there was like modern literature. And I went back in there and took a turn and then turned around. And all I could see were just books and shelves. There was no people. There was no nothing. Exactly. It was like, whoa.
To be honest, what you said, though, when you said, okay, you take a couple turns and there's no one to help you.
I like that.
Hit the nail on the head for our entire trip. As you said that.
Yo.
As you said that. Because think about me. Think about you. Think about all of us together and separate. And you know, I've been this little like up early, meditating late. I kind of just have this like will wander off. Sorry about y'all. I love you, but could at any time have just gone on a hike in a place that is, you know, up there. And so like me on that dune, I had multiple moments of pause where even like when we got caught on that little rock and I could just feel that, that feeling just lower. It's like, if you let fear overtake you out here in a lot of different ways, maybe it won't keep you from like seeing something, but you will not be able to participate as deeply or get to certain views. So even on this trip, I've had a lot of single moments like alone where I've had to like conquer or just like tackle again little fears that I've had held since a child of like, and you know, I'm from fucking Indiana and I didn't come from money. So we didn't get to like travel a lot. It was like, I saw things and I'm thankful, but like, I just got my first passport. Same. I haven't even seen the world, bro. I went to Costa Rica with my sister's crazy Kundalini thing in January and that's it so far. But like, even seeing all this on this trip, but like we're talking about, it's like, it's constant. You have to be so mindful out here, which is why these places are so meditative. Not just because the views are epic and your brain resets, but because you literally are in like gentle peril at every turn. Every time we've gotten to a river, I've had an awareness that like, buddy, look alive. You know, every time you have to even just like going down a place that is a path, still there's a leaf on top of something and you don't know what's under there. This particular lake we're sitting outside of Soap Lake, I got in there today and it was never higher than my knee. And I could still just like feel this feeling in my stomach that was like, I'm scared a little bit because like I was just waiting for it to give out on me at any time. And there's been kind of like this like soft sand, as you know, in this particular area. So it's just been one of those moments where you saying that like hit so much bigger than the just even like, oh, you can make two turns and get lost.
Well, it's like when we stopped yesterday to hop in the river for the second time for you and y'all took off and you sent me a message, but my phone lost signal. So I have like this big fear of, I have abandonment issues.
God. So oh my God. Why are you just now telling me this?
Well, I thought it was obvious. So I take off and I'm just like left or right. And I'm like, I don't know. I just went with my gut and went right. But like, I'm walking through this place by myself and I have to conquer this fear of like, they didn't abandon you. It's okay. You're going to find them.
We can't abandon you. You have the keys.
That is true. That is true. But that's not how your brain works in those situations.
For sure. And it's dealing with so much. Sensory overload has been on a maximum for me. Like we were saying, we've been so flush with views of every type, but all beautiful, that it could easily kind of be overwhelming if it wasn't so natural. And we'll
it's not overwhelming. To me, it's the exact opposite. To me, it's, I've said it multiple times on this trip. Every time we get one of those views, I'm like, I get how people can just wander off into the woods, never to be seen again.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I can do that shit so easy. I've had to fight that urge. I've had to fight that urge to be like, I could just turn off here and keep going and no one would ever find me. Oh, I could just make my way out here.
Imagine us, the story of us after losing AJ. Losing AJ because like...
I'm on the ground like a dog. Like,
oh my God.
I can smell him.
I just like, I think of the conversations we're going to have. They're going to run the tapes back. There's going to be like all sorts of like, speculation.
Nah, we just like, be like, look, he said he was gonna do it one day, and today was that day, and he went into the woods, and we respect that.
We're like, respectfully, officer.
He is out there.
We have multiple instances on multiple social media platforms of AJ on stage and off, of AJ saying something in a vein of,
we didn't do anything. We're innocent. We are concerned.
This isn't about you. This is about me. Bye-bye.
And because of my sense of humor, I would leave like a vague message.
You have to.
Yeah.
It has to just, once again, say whale in all caps. Yeah. That's the real joke, is that you were going out to like leave and you said whale to throw us into a scent that like, oh, there's something to see. And the funny thing is it's here though. And we're like, oh, we already have researched this lake. And we know that a whale is not in there. There's not even a
There's
single
nothing
fish.
Alive in there.
That's a lie. You're an asshole.
Which I do find hilarious, by the way. I've been thinking about that ever since we started researching this lake. So Soap Lake is this like, it's, I can't think of the name of it, but there's a specific name. It starts with a name.
Mesmatonic?
We're getting there.
Anyway. Something. Anyway, the sediment at the bottom of the lake, like doesn't mix with the water. So it's like this mud that's at the bottom of the lake that does not mix into the water at all. So you have mineral water and then the second layer of like mineral mud that are oil and water. They do not mix. They haven't mixed for like hundreds of years or something. But it's like this super high mineral content. And because of like the waves create like a froth around the edge of the lake, it's called Soap Lake. And it's like, has all these health benefits, according to people. And like, there used to be like a giant, like health industry related to people coming and like soaking in the healing waters and covering themselves with the muds. But, Miramictic is the name, Miramictic. But anyway, so all these people would come and like heal themselves in this lake, but this lake literally contains nothing alive.
Yeah, but
it literally cannot sustain life.
But it's so dope. It's so dope as a person who was in there, and you're going to be in there later. Oh, I'll get back in because of what we were talking about. Even Sid was in there, did a double full dunk.
I went head in.
I walked out like I was going into the woods. That's part of what stopped me, AJ. Like I told you, I would have, if you would have been in there, I was kind of conquering a fear of just being like, hey, do you trust? So some of this, I think, on a meta level, that higher self, this whole trip for me has been like, do you trust that like you've the whole time in your life? Yeah, you can get scraped up. Clearly, you've seen me fall down 4 times in Astoria out of my own slides. Just can't stay standing up. But still, even when I was looking at those views on top of those dunes and I knew I was alone, and it was like one of those moments again, I had to keep telling myself, you have to like to push that fear down. You have to ground yourself in the opposite frequency, which is like love and peace and going, hey, I'm good. The universe has held me my whole life. Even when I could not remember and was too drunk to stand up, I was so held. You think you're going to fall through a goddamn sinkhole, Hannah, in a lake that's never happened to anyone?
Yeah.
You're going to be the first one. So, but you know, constantly you have to like navigate that. But I found myself at one point looking at the lake, and all around me, I could see it was very shallow still. And I was like, oh, I could just keep walking out. You know, and I was like, I knew, though, because of our reading and how we all just like veg out and like do this research. I was like, there is a part of this lake that is 70 feet deep, though. So you go ahead and walk out of there. But know that Sydney can't get onto the aqua bike because it's chained up. And that means she's going to have to come out in a paddle boat or you're going to have to swim. And you can swim, but I don't know if you're going to want, so please.
That's why I didn't walk out as far right as here. You, is because when you're walking out, it's like your feet are disappearing. And with my knees, like I took a few steps and it was like,
It also
it
hurt.
It felt like at any moment it could just like go like how you fell out of your shoe. Yeah. So I just found a spot where I could sit down and then I just laid back. And I was like, if she goes out where I can't get, I'm going to have to tread. I'm going to have to swim. I'm going to have to swim out there and get this silly little boy.
I would call on Poseidon. We have Poseidon right behind us in our field museum.
I think he's the god of the ocean.
Yeah, but
not
he's
really
still
late.
He's still water related. Blanket water related.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Call out in a conch shell to one of his other friends.
Could you imagine being at a lake and drowning, being like, Aquaman, help. And then he just like shows up on the shore and he's like, sorry, bro, you're on your own.
If you think
salt water only, bruh.
There is salt in there.
There is salt in there.
I know. I had a feeling that at any time I could just relax and I should be able to just float. And I reminded myself that if I was going to get any deeper, that the even what's in it, you were talking. Heavy magnesium. Basically, there's like 23 known minerals in this mm-hmm. water, from what I read.
Including lithium.
The lithium, too. Shout out to lithium. Whee! But it's one of the only lakes in the whole world that has this kind of, you know, feature that you were talking about of the separation.
Yeah.
I did not do it this morning, but you can put the mud from the bottom of the thing, kind of just mm-hmm. like I would assume like the Dead
that, like,
Sea
spongy
is.
Spongy mud we were talking about mm-hmm. that you just sink into. Yeah.
And it smells. It smells like farts.
Yeah. It mm-hmm. smells like me.
You farted in the water to
I did
add
fart
to
in the
local.
Well, so it's funny, the like the thing about the lithium being in the water, is lithium used to be like part of the treatment for mental health. And when I was reading about like this stuff about this town, not only was it like a health like resort, all that kind of stuff, but there were also like 4 sanitariums here.
Mm-hmm. Shout out
for
to
like
that job.
Almost 50 years. So yeah, you don't have to worry about a sinkhole swallowing you up. You have to worry about the ghosts.
And imagine
it's obviously haunted.
It feels haunted at night.
It does feel haunted.
It feels
also
haunted.
There's no like biological life in the water, but there's still ducks. Yes. Like ducks will come and land, and
there's
some
bugs
like,
in the water.
Well, yeah, there
and
are
bugs
and what is it like microorganisms?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes.
But you hear like the ducks at night, and they sound like haunting. They sound like people like screaming or like some sort of creatures coming for you.
Yeah, and at first I thought because it was like such a heavily like Native American area, I was like, mm-hmm. oh, but they. They called truce to come here, like tribes called truce
that's a
to come.
Part of the local history is that, yeah, if the rival Indians came, they would stop to, like, soak their ailments in this lake. So, like, but, you know, even us being in it today, it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I'm used to getting in cold water, but there was something that was still just, like, drawing me in. And the bottom of it, as you'll feel, is, it hurt the whole time on our video. I'm just saying, ouch, in one tone or another. Ouch, 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 ouch.
Yeah, the
ouch,
bottom
ouch,
of my
ouch,
feet
ouch,
are raw.
Ouch, ouch, ouch. Mm. ouch. But because it felt like kind of like coral. Like once it, you know, and this particular.
Well, I think that's because you're not supposed to walk in out. It like you're supposed to get to where you can float and then you're supposed to float
well,
in the water.
It's so shallow, AJ.
I know.
You see for so long. You have to like really kind of get out there. So like I definitely would probably put those little shoes of mine on again, maybe, or just tough it out because
I'm going in with fish walks.
It feels like little broken shells, you know, and we've been walking on all kinds of stuff. My feet are,
yeah,
I'm used
like,
to being out in
it's
nature.
Like lava rock because it's like a, what you call it? It's a.
But also, if you take all three of us right now with our current neuroses, ailments, autisms, you know, even in the beneficial ways and put us back in this town at the time of the sanitariums, we are certainly. 3 people who have had the exact same temperaments and personalities would be candidates to go to the sanitarium.
Oh, yeah. They would have walked
in. They'd have killed us. We'd be probably killed in domestic violence, you know, or our dad just snap our neck or something, you know, just being like, girls,
you guys have been donated. They'd have just donated you to the sanitarium.
There you go.
This week's episode of the What in Tardation podcast is brought to you by Eargasm, the leader in innovative hearing solutions. Eargasm was founded with a passion for preserving the sound quality of live experiences while prioritizing hearing health. We live in a loud world, and harmful noises significantly threaten our hearing and mental health. Eargasm's high-fidelity earplugs are designed to protect your hearing in all loud environments without sacrificing sound quality. Get all the highs and lows of a concert or festival at a safer volume for your eardrums. Eargasm earbuds aren't just for musicians or concert fans, though. They're for anyone who finds themselves in loud situations. If you're someone who needs extra support in unpredictable environments, from comedy clubs or classrooms to crowds or construction sites, these earplugs help manage sensory overload and anxiety caused by loud noises. Eargasm's high-fidelity earplugs are an ideal go-to solution for neurodivergent individuals or anyone else with sensory processing differences or sensitivities to sounds, because these earplugs filter out harmful, overwhelming noise and allow you to hear only what matters, so you can enjoy a calmer, more grounded experience in chaotic environments. Order your first pair of hypoallergenic, high-fidelity earplugs today by checking Eargasm out on Instagram or heading over to their website at www.eargasm.com. And when you check out, use promo code AJ10 for 10% off your order. Now back to the podcast.
Yeah,
they would have pickled us for sure.
Do you need me to sign something for lobotomies, or do you guys just do those right off the rip?
You don't have to pay us. This is just donation.
They'd be double dipping us, triple dipping us in the waters, little shock at the end, and then heavy prayer time. And that would have been like their la la la, just to get us even.
Our parents would have paid them to take us. They wouldn't have even asked for donations. They would have just been
and
like,
jokes on them.
Like,
we're
what do you
getting
need?
Little bit
$30 a month.
Yeah, we're microdosing lithium. And the funny thing is, I got some of this water in my mouth because I always do full in, and it didn't taste good. It tastes kind of sour. But I also, my sister right now is basing with my niece and her husband in Ashland, Oregon. So I was just there about a month before we were on tour. And Ashland is super weird. It's like one of the crunchiest hippie areas of all hippie areas. And they have the largest like Shakespeare theater in the world, which is crazy. But every night that I was there, you could see people going into Macbeth and shit. But they have like deer that'll come up to you in the park, super domesticated. Like the way we saw the elk and we're trying to get close, but shouldn't have been. The deer in Ashland will come and eat like produce out of your hand. Mm-hmm. And they're like tiny little Bambi types. But they have a park called Lithia Park, and my niece plays in it all the time. And then these little things called fairy ponds, and it's all beautiful. I was in that water too. But then I found out the town Lithia is named because it's lithium. So I had a great time there. But one time I saw this lithium fountain and I got close to it. Me and this old man drank some of the water, and then a person swooped up and was like, "You shouldn't drink that water." And we were both like, "Oh." But the funny thing is, I got a funny taste in my mouth, and I hadn't tasted that again until that water today. So even with a little tiny bit of lithium,
you can taste it. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. It's tang.
Yeah, after you tasted the water, when I dunked back, I went, and didn't keep my mouth open.
Because, I didn't mean for it to get in my mouth, but it did. And it just washed over it like Listerine, and I thought, I made sounds. I was like, going,
yeah. Lithiastrine, dude.
Yeah, lithia, though.
That's new mouthwash.
I mean, shout out to Oregon keeping us laced on lithium.
It's been wild since the last episode. We lost Sydney. He went back to...
He didn't lose him. Change of verbiage. He's not lost.
Yeah, he didn't wander off into the woods. No. He went back home. He got on a plane.
No, Sydney is black. He wasn't even going to get into the woods like that.
No.
We couldn't lure him into a single cold plunge. Couldn't even get his feet in there.
He didn't go snipe hunting with us once.
He's I see this. I'm taking pictures. Y'all are precious.
But since he left, we saw sea stars. We've seen sea puppies. We've seen the craziest sunset I've ever seen. Elk.
Done and like three more cold plunges.
Minimum.
And
I saw a
fucking whale.
And we saw the whale.
Bro. And you would not think maybe that's rare in the Pacific Northwest, but having talked to multiple people now and flexed on them on and off stage about seeing a whale, people have let us know that have lived here for 6 years to 13, they have not seen a single whale tail. So good on us. We're hitting all our marks on our bingo
now
card.
The
northern lights are coming to us. They must. The KP is the highest it's been.
The storm pushed back, and I've been checking it I mean, space weather, if you don't know anything about it, is so hard to predict, and it's been fucking with us, where during the daytime, I'd be like, tonight's the night, and then
for the past two nights, at least,
space weather is so hard to predict. Yeah, space weather is so hard to predict. We've dedicated an entire branch of the military to it.
I was slow to it, but I'm always here for the salute.
Hey, support our troops, dude. Space weather ain't no joke.
It's not. It's crazy.
I like this. They're like the Coast Guard of the stars.
Yeah, the stars Coast Guard.
We did see a regional flight coming through our path. That's been another thing about this particular location is this is the first one where not that we've seen stars. A few of the RV parks, you could see twinkle, twinkle, little sun stardust. Yeah. Not anything on my phone because it's old and it can looks like a black square, the Black Lives Matter tile. Yeah.
Dude, the night mode pictures we got of the stars last night are nuts.
I can't wait to see it.
Whole constellations. We got like the little, the nebulas, like the little clouds.
Oh my God.
Nuts photos.
I paid 50 cents for an upgraded star app so I could spin around in the sky and it was like showing me which
constellations were there.
Dope. So sick.
And
we found out what planet were we able to see. Jupiter?
Yeah, Jupiter was the one that was fucking flossing. It was so bright. It looked like it was like a headlight, like our neighbor two spots away.
It looked like when a real rapper showed up at a club and then you were like, oh, everyone else is wearing cubic zirconia.
Whoa, shit.
You know what I mean?
Like literally, I lost 10% of my vision because of your chain, T-Pain. Ouch, fucking shit. Yeah, the glare was real. But that's the last night we saw the stars in a way. And also because I know more about star weather now because of all of our particular desires coming together and certain levels of expertise. Sydney has seen the Northern Lights multiple times. AJ and I have not. So she has provided us with
unlimited
information, but wanted about what's happening in the sky. BZs, I know about that. We know we need that to be negative, but we need the KPs high. But there have been meteor showers happening. All of us saw multiple shooting stars last night, and like things were.
I've never seen shooting stars like that either. Like,
no,
there weren't shooting stars. They were part of the meteor shower. Mm-hmm. So it was just little meteor showers, just little.
Yeah, we have a lot popping off at the particular time that we're out here, just like even the whale coming in, we're at the very tip of the start of that migration season, but we still managed to see one.
Also, if you guys see us just randomly looking off in this direction, because we got the RV windows open,
I'm so sorry.
And you can see like these like desert canyon mountains over the lake, and it's gorgeous. So we just keep being like, oh, yeah.
It's not that I'm not listening. I'm listening with a view.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, but I've got flowers in my face that were from this Dahlia's farm that was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Speaking of just unforgettable moments of, whoa, I mean, you don't even like having to, it's a production if you have to turn the RV around to do something. So for us to have like passed the flower farm.
I went to Yui.
That we couldn't even see the full extent of until you were really there. And still turn around. Yeah. We got these like a week ago. And
I will
still
say,
here.
Every time that I have made a U-turn, it has been pretty sick.
What were the other U's, Meg?
The other U is that the first time you cold plunged into the river.
Yep.
Okay.
The river cold plunge.
Oh, the bridge.
Which was beautiful.
I went to
because
Yui for that.
I knew we were coming into better weather. Even if it wasn't going to warm up, I was like, okay, the rain will stop. But I'm moody and suicidal since little. You know, like, I vibe with Seattle. Like, I get it. Jump.
Well, it was a super cool old bridge. There was, like rapid sections, like, with the rocks and
mist,
stuff on both times.
Raining
sides.
Mist.
Raining mist. Plus, because of the rapids, you were getting mist off of the water as well. It was magical. It was when we was right after that was when we saw the rainbow right next to
the
car.
The rainbow was so close.
Or was that after the second? That was after the second cold punch.
I thought the rainbow was so trippy to me, and we had smoked that I thought I was hallucinating it, and then I screamed out to them,
and I thought something was happening.
For
so
sure.
I was like,
the three of us. None of us are good about like not scaring the other one with whatever it is that we're trying to get them to see. It's, you know, even you shouting out last night on the beach, I couldn't see you, and I was like, oh, shit!
Because the views are actually breathtaking, so you see something, and you actually gasp, and so then everyone else is like, what's wrong?
Or no one asks, we're constantly slipping on rocks.
When I'm driving and I see something really cool, I just start laughing.
Or we've been falling. You know, you took a tumble, I've taken multiples. Yeah. How I managed to not get smoked on the second river stop yesterday, but I slid into something where I think, you know, just speaking of Neptune coming out to save me if I was drowning, a little sea spirit pushed me up because I was like, whoa, bro, okay, tiptoed out of that. Whoa. Just a little scrape, that's nice. You know, you got that tiny blood blister on the top of your foot. These are just those things where
I've got a big-ass knot on my head.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, I've got bruises up and down my legs. And,
hey,
yeah.
I headbutted that cabinet so hard I thought I was bleeding.
I thought you potentially got concussed.
I probably, you know. Whatever.
And you know, the thing is our freezer and fridge are broken, so I couldn't even offer her anything frozen as an ice pack.
But when we came back inside from being outside for so long, my hand was so cold that all I had to do was go like this, and I was like, oh, this feels so nice.
Oof. And I thought to myself, I think she's okay. Keep your mind on the higher thoughts. And then when you're getting ready for bed, I saw you kind of have one of those dizzy moments, and I thought, no, that's a mild concussion. Keep your mind to the higher thoughts. All you can do is pray.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but every time I bent down, I could feel like everything rushed to that spot.
Well, that's just the outer contusion. That's the bruise on the top of your skull. Doug, if anybody got concussed, it was when I got hit while driving the RV with a 40-pound camera bag just...
Like
into my head. And
I wish
shoulder.
I would have been sitting to see it so I could have reacted faster. But I had a pretty quick reaction time of getting it off
too.
Of you.
I did too. Like, I even to where my mind went. Once again, I can only do what I can do with my mind, and I believe that deeply. So I just like the second I saw that thing come flying down, I literally was like, "He's fine. He's fine. He's fine." That's all I was saying. Not like, oh, let him be fine, because I'm like, no, I'm not even going to hold space. That an injury occurred. But, you know, anything flying down on a moving RV could do everything from, like, knock you unconscious to, like, break your shoulder or, you know, it just freak accidents. Yeah. Like, us falling on rocks. Like, even today, I knew, I was like, hey, you just have to be willing to take the L. Like, if you're going to get into nature, there's some little just, like, you constantly are going to have some little slip-ups. You're going to learn. You have to, like, make edits later to be like, well, those shoes are not to ever be worn like that. You know, I would never get in the water again with that romper. I was freezing on that walk back from the Goonies dip.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was hilarious. We all get it. It starts raining. We're like, well, we're already here and getting in the water. We get in, we get out. Everything's already wet. So we're just soaked walking back. Like the mile and a half.
At least.
Yeah. Well, when we got back up to the top and around that one corner, it said 1 mile.
Yeah.
So there's like, oh, we still have a mile to go back to the base. And then we still had to walk from there back down to where we parked the RV. Yeah.
And they were like, do you guys want to ride? And we're like, no.
It was just one of the days where I could have worn underwear and I thought, nah. And I was in this little one piece and a sports bra. So where it's like, I couldn't lose the one piece without my vagine out. So I just didn't want to not get in the water because I get this deep FOMO because I love cold plunges. They know this. I went on like a solo one in the ocean when Sydney was still with us. But yeah, this has been different. This is really different. For me.
What's been your favorite part?
I think the two cold plunges yesterday.
Hmm. Yeah, you seem to really come alive in the river water.
Yeah, I'm a fresh water boy.
Fresh.
And like when we did the cold plunges in the ocean, I was literally just like plunge in and then immediately back out. Like I could, like it, I wasn't sitting in the ocean. Mm-hmm. But in the river, dude, I just, as soon as I sat down in it, I was like a couple deep breaths and I was like, oh, there it is. There it is.
The river still has an ability to, once again, that's like another little conquering of fears for me, because as you're aware, even when the rivers are clean, rivers still possess creatures. There could even be in places like this, a bear pop up. Rivers got snakes in them. even a fish touching you or a slippery rock, your brain doesn't fucking know. Sometimes it's not as clear or it's deeper. So I, as you're aware, I always want to be in that water. I'm like, I'm desperately close to views to where Sydney has been freaked out multiple times by how just like near to traffic or a death point I am.
The amount of times I've had to pull you off the side of the roadway so that you don't get hit by a car is astronomically high. It's higher than the KP will ever be in this area.
Plus nine. Yeah. Off the KP Richter, yeah,
plus
bro.
With what we've found to be your propensity for falling down on this trip, and you just fall into the road.
No doubt about it. So the combination keeps us on our toes.
Split,
Jesus,
splat.
Take this hike.
Yeah.
Take it from my hands.
There's more than one combination of people that might be having to make explanations.
You know what I mean? And the worst part is all three of us on this RV have basically a lot of gear. Personally, just like even in like our raincoats, etc. So there's always something here that we have to make whatever we're about to do not as difficult.
Yep.
But rarely when we start it off, do we have those things on, or we'll have like a varying combination where it's like, oh yeah, I got the raincoat on, I got the whatever. And then I'm wearing these like Spanish espadrille slides that you should just be wearing walking around Paris, France.
You'd be slipping and sliding out of them.
Instead.
They're not even shoes.
I am on the beach being thrown for my life, bro. And I'm, but still just like not having shoes on.
It's like you were wearing mechanical bolts.
Yeah, dude.
It's like you were wearing mechanical bolts on your feet.
4 seconds and she's off.
No one really understood what I was going through until AJ got thrown completely out of his Nike last night on the beach over on the other side of Soap Lake.
Spongy little hole. And then I hit, where the hole was, there was a rock in the back side of it. That's what hurt. And like, that's what took me out of my shoe was when I sunk into the hole, that rock jabbed me in like the back of my Achilles. Just right over the top of the back of my...
I knew it. And I want
felt that one in my loins.
I want you to know that I saw maturity in me on a lot of levels when you fell out of your shoe. Because since I've been a little kid, when something happens to someone, like even something like, for instance, my mom choking on something when I was younger, like an egg roll. It is cause or a friend downstairs that like broke their arm at a gay bar in some place. I've laughed. I've always been there as a first responder so fast, sometimes with a video on. I will be there in a flash, almost as if I were Superman.
With a video on.
I just, in over the years, for sure.
World star first responder.
I'm there. I'm there before that shit even existed. I was there. Granny vids.
World star.
Even right now, as you know, I have an iPhone and it's not like the newest one, but it's like a few back. And boy, it sucks because it's got a pink line through it. It's for fuck's sake. I'm there, but I've laughed. And when you fell last night, my initial reaction is to want to laugh, but I knew it had wounded you. I knew it hurt you. And as a person who keeps getting hurt out and about too, I just curbed it. I was still was in my brain just being like, yep, see, the commonality of man is that we all get thrown out of our shoes sometimes. Yours is just because you're making impractical choices. And AJ's is because he's unfamiliar with this terrain. It's nighttime and it's quicksand.
And sometimes you hit your head on a cabinet.
That I left open, so I've been having survivor's guilt.
I would not feel bad for that at all.
I know, but I do feel bad. That's probably another thing that, like, if my brother had smoked his head on that, like, when we were 8 years old or right now, I'd have laughed. Sydney almost concussed, and I have not felt good about it since. I've had to, like, let it go in the water today, where I was like, hey, buddy, you didn't do that. It's just
no,
some of the loose
tag. I did it.
I know.
I ran into it.
I know.
I ran into it.
I think I'm only saying this because when inevitably something happens to me, just the way AJ's put it out there, like, oh, yeah, if I could just wander into the woods, whatever. I'm maybe not even trying to go. I just get close to things, and sometimes I go out without everyone else, as you know. Just know it wasn't your fault. That's all I want to say. You didn't leave the cabinet open. It was impersonal. Nature doesn't care. It just got me in Cape Kiwanda. wherever those dunes were. I think that was the name. I'm probably butchering it. I feel like the town names here
Pacific
are
Pacific City.
Pacific City.
Yeah, but the Cape area right there had a name. So like it also
I don't know.
I'll look it up later. But I think Cape Kiwanda. I'm gonna keep saying that to make it right until we find out.
Later. Cape Disappointment's probably my favorite spot.
Mm. Yeah,
but Cape Disappointment.
Yeah. The Dead Man's Cove and the whale.
And the military.
The military base was dope. The Steve Nullis, like the unit
barracks.
Flag. Like the unit flag that was still painted on the barracks wall, like the unit patch, the Steve Nullis patch with the red dragon. That was dope.
What did that mean again?
I think it meant surrender nothing.
That's such a fucking badass phrase.
Yeah. Well, like, so I was like reading about like those bases. There was like, because it's the mouth of the Columbia River, and they didn't want enemy ships to be able to sail up the river and attack like America inland. They put three bases on one side of the Columbia River and then four bases on the other side, like where there were like more of those hidden coves. So ships couldn't like hide there either. But so there are like seven military bases there at the mouth of this. And like at this point, like in history, it's all like naval warfare. So they're like, we can't let foreign navies invade America up the mouth of this river. So they were surrender nothing, because if they make it past us, they can take all of America. That was very cool. And then like seeing some of like the old photos, like from like the early 1900s and like World War One and Two, like those dirt bike motorcycle guys with the fucking bedrolls on the front, because it's like, oh, I may have to do a patrol so wide if it's sleep in nature.
And that's a commonality of all the waterways here that tie Oregon and Washington State together, is that even when we saw that banger sunset in Astoria, there was, if you remember, like right by the water when we were walking by the pier, there's all those like little posts that are out there, but kind of back, those were some of the like remnants of like some battalion shit, where it was like little, it wasn't barracks, of course, but they were just like, if I'm using the right terminology, like machine gun turrets or like a cannon, whatever.
Yeah, like gun mounts and.
Yeah.
But I think Sid has said a bunch in certain places we've been, including this lake earlier in the podcast, but another common theme of this area is that simultaneously, something where you're at will be the most pristine, oh my God, so cool, so beautiful thing, and then in the same amount, creepy as hell, where you're like, oh, I'm not alone here, from everything from like the ancient land spirits and who knows what, to just people who got lost on a hike, to whatever people they pretended to drown in the sanitarium, you know, just stupid shit where it's like, oh, it's that too. It's super wilderness. Like a lot of the beach we went, there was old gray whale bones. And then, you know, talking about Lewis and Clark being like, oh, this is where they would come out on the beach and sketch. And everywhere we've been collecting like flora and fauna and assembled this tiny little thing, which I was like, we were joking.
A little sink garden.
You buying those you buying Thoreau. I love that. I'm an English major. It's like, I deeply resonate with like that Walden Pond idea. So it's like, I knew looking at those little things we have back there, I was like, oh, he would have loved us. We'd have been his favorite stand-up comics. Because we're like young naturalists, like even these flowers, everything we've been doing, trying to just be like gentle and going in, like deeply appreciating the view instead of just driving past and being like, that's pretty. We're in that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Deep. Even studying the history.
Yeah.
I feel like a low-key expert, like I could give a tour and not be bullshitting about a lot of places.
Well, everywhere we've gone, like I've said it at every point in this trip, it like the forest, like the foliage, it all feels prehistoric.
Jurassic Park.
Like Jurassic Park. Like you're at a different place in time. Cause it's untamed. It's like so many places where it's like, you know, there are roads and there are like towns here and there, but they're like all of the places in between where like literally like nature is still winning. You know, because man can't conquer it. They're like, we can't build shit here. It's too rough and tumble. It's too unstable. It's to whatever.
In every one of the coastal towns, you'll see signage on the road where I'm too close to the cars that says tsunami zone. It's very clear to me when you look around, not only your personal life, but you just can see the most beautiful house on a cliff. And you just think to yourself, wow, incredible property value. One little hiccup. We're talking about, you know, unfortunately right now.
Landslide. Hurricane Helene. Me down.
Yeah, but I mean, truly, Hurricane Helene. I feel terribly. That shit's been making me sick to my stomach. Talking about other things I'm praying for. Just North Carolina, my God. But like, nature will kickflip on a dime. It doesn't consider you. It doesn't care about your apps and you tracking KPs. It'll just do.
That's like last night. When we were out on the beach and you had already started walking up and we were still out there and that wind picked up, I was like, oh, we need to go. It's
because you just don't know. You just don't know, too. And quickly, you could just be out here without water, easily disoriented. Like I said, stuff gets whatever. But yeah, that's been so crazy to learn about. Those barracks were super dope. I remember going to something like that as a kid on the East Coast and I was immediately nostalgic and like the little explorer in me just wanted to go through those hallways. And you know, yeah, it was creepy. Like one of them, it's like there's like old and they're beautiful, but it's like because of the decay. And you know, knowing that like not too long ago, people our grandparents' age were like manning those ships just like us and like running and like screaming
maybe whale.
Yeah, they couldn't group text whale like you did, all caps, best text of my life. Between the three of us, but they would see it. They had to have swam in those waters. It was just like really cool to be like, the politics of the world is fucked right now, but if you just get beyond it, the humanity is that we could have all been in all these places. And it was just like, this place is just so rad in what it can just like offer from town to town, has so much like happening. And it's so, like we said, my brain has been thinking of the words extraterrestrial, dystopian. Like when I saw those salps for the first time on the very first, of the first beaches we were at in the morning, that morning we went out that first misty beach when we woke up at the RV park. And I saw those for the first time, those little jellyfish pussies, but they were so pretty. They were, that's what they look like. They look like the afterbirth, don't they? Yeah. Like a whale's like a afterbirth. Just this, but looks like something where you're like, oh, that's in a future Rama kind of shit. Like,
yeah.
What is that?
Those weird alien seaweed things with the bulbs.
Oh, the tubes. They were like tubes. 20 feet long.
Yeah, oh all of that extraterrestrial. Like this place, like the Soap Lake, like with the no life and the weird duck noises. And
The beach itself looks weird. The
beach itself and like that spongy, it does not feel like you're on Earth.
It stinks. Also, yeah. It smells like sulfur. So it's like, it smells like rotten eggs. So it's like the whole combination. It's like views with a...
Yeah.
You have to, there's like a hazard to it.
Yeah. Well, it's literally, it would be like an interstellar or some shit. Like you could imagine Matthew McConaughey landing here and being like, oh, they have water, but it's not fresh water safe for humans. So this planet isn't habitable.
Yeah.
Or if you think about what really would happen, like if everything got nuked and you know, there was those Cormac McCarthy novels come to life. One of my all-time favorites. He's my favorite author. I'm so happy to say his name. But if that really happened, and you know, or we constantly talk about Civil War, but just certain things getting shelled out and humanity getting thinned down, that these places would for sure still remain. They were already here. They will still be here. You know, just going on, ducks honking. And I've been out, as you guys know, every night, like 1 to 3 a.m. outside of the RV to do about 27 minutes worth of meditation. And so I've had to really, another little fear I've had to conquer is just, what's that sound? Oops, what's that sound? What is that? Rustling wind, anything that we don't know what's in the water. We don't even know humans, Bigfoot, spirits.
I totally get why the Bigfoot, like legend still exists up here is because like all of that, like we were saying, like that prehistoric alien flora and fauna that's also tightly packed in together. When you step like 15 feet off of the highway and you hear nothing at all and you're like, oh, there's obviously things living here, but you can't hear any of it.
And you can't see
so
them
things are, yeah, things are just sneaking around out here and you know they're there, but you can't see them and you can't hear them. unless they're right up on you. I get how things could just not be discovered with how much of this there is.
Well, and it's what we're talking about. People's baseline fears will keep you from a lot of things. Even if it's not like you can't see this view, but I get a different view and my whole feeling changes when I get in that water. The POV is different. So there's just been things in life that have gone unexplored because people are just like unwilling to go in there. And, you know, even having seen some of these like weird things like those salps, which I had never seen on any beaches before, I recognize that like what they say, 8% of the oceans are untapped, uncharted. They don't know what's in there. So you're telling me that the thing that's producing this insanity that we get to see at a very small level. I don't know if y'all have seen that documentary, but Wild Wild Country on Netflix. That's about that like guru Osho who brought his kind of cult group.
Oregon. I know what you're talking about.
Town or whatever. That's in Oregon. And I remember in the documentary, it looks like a million different worlds. And that's another
thing.
Is that
the one where they're yelling and screaming at each other? Mm-hmm. And the whole like brutal honesty, name calling?
No, that's a different one. But it's another
one where they bought the town.
Yeah, for sure. And they took it over Antelope, Oregon. But it's just like, it was another one of those towns where there was like hardly anyone in it. Like even this one, still to this day, the current population, the 2020 census was like 1,869 people, which is still 1,000 more than my town. So crazy to think about. Dude,
think that we drove through that like German village in the mountains.
Leavenworth. The Bavarian town. Yes. Yep.
Not a cult, but kind of like the same thing happened in that town. Like somebody came in, bought as much of the town as they could, and was like, we're going to make this German themed.
Yes.
Very Midsommar-y vibes.
Oh, yeah. We will always have a space for the Fuhrer.
To the point that even now, like, you know, like Howard Johnson and a 76, what is it?
Phillips, McDonald's 76 even.
Gas station. McDonald's all had like these, and a Subway all had these like, you know, old time German signage.
Dainty little designs. It's usually pretty little things, pretty little sayings that hide grotesque racism and hatred and other things like that. That's when something becomes all of one thing. But, you know, that's what we're dealing with. But it's interesting because we're also in places like Tacoma, where like Alaska and places where I've just started to go and didn't know too much about, they have heavy diversity. Even some of your fans, like a girl came up to me who looked white presenting to me and was like, oh, I'm mixed Thai, I'm mixed Asian, just like you. And I was like, whoa. Because I didn't see it, but she was like, oh, there's all that kind of stuff. And, you know, because of the rivers and the sea and all the stuff that we're talking about coming in, all kinds of commerce would have been happening from the olden days. So any numbers of people could have been dropping in and settling in from, like, Asian communities, etc. And anyone who had the money to adventure or just the technology at that time to keep cutting across this wild, wild, like we're saying, I don't give a fuck about you nature, is what's out here today or who got here first.
Yeah. Well, and that, like the diversity, it's cool, like, seeing, like, even realizing, like, what you're saying, like, generational diversity. Like, okay, Boston is a lot of Irish, you know, New York and Boston, the East Coast, a lot of Irish and Italian immigrants, because that's where the ships would come in. And then over here on the West Coast, you have a lot more like Asian immigrants and generationally Asian immigrants, because this is where the ships would come in. And it's just very cool to see like, oh, these immigrants spread out on this coast and these immigrants spread out this way. And like some of these made it out here, obviously, because of westward expansion and things like that. But like when we discovered the West, that's when those immigrants started like getting here as well. And that like it's cool to see it like almost from a like an anthropological standpoint of being like, oh, there's more of these like Asian immigrants here because of, and more of Eastern European immigrants here because it's just cool to see.
And it's been beautiful for me as a mixed Asian. You know, I'm Filipino, and at the show in the creepy ballroom, I watched a lumpia reference that I've made on stage, which is a traditional, just like Filipino egg roll, but it's a thinner, like a little pencil dicked egg roll. But my mom makes the best ones I've ever had. And I've said a joke on stage a little quip for years, and I've mostly done it at home in Indiana or Chicago or New York. And a couple of people in the audience will laugh because maybe they have Filipino friends. But at your show, this wasn't me headlining and my own like, oh, I've got some little Asian friends and I'm part of that diaspora. No, these were your fans. And I made that lumpia reference and got the loudest pop I've ever heard in Tacoma. And it really hit me like a ton of bricks, but in like a beautiful way where even, you know, the half Asian girl that talked to me outside, she was like, I'll come see you even if you're alone. And I'm like, well, yeah, sometimes I am often. I'm not with them all the time. They would not be able to survive it. I have to come out and blaze my own trail too. But just hearing that was so nice. And she's like giving me pho recommendations and just like kind of growing into a person who hasn't late blooming, you know, and getting on these trips and feeling like, ah, God, it took me forever to get taken along and la-di-da. But if this is the first and second tour we've done, it shows me that I would wait another 10 years for this to be, again, what we've done already. And it's not over. It's been so epic. And I have a good life. I have a beautiful life. I've seen cool things this year. We're beyond blessed, you know, on and off stage. But it's like, this was insane.
Yeah. And we'll keep doing stuff like this because that's how I've built and like how I keep trying to build is like the way I've seen some of the other people build is like, like what keeps Bert like fresh and in love with comedy is doing Fully Loaded every year and like bringing other headliners and other people that are super funny, because that's when he's like working on his new hour of material in between his tours and filming specials. Is he's like, I'm coming out and I'm working on new material while I have all of these fucking fresh, interesting, funny minds around me to help make me sharp and to keep me as sharp as I can be. That's why I traditionally, like, even going back to when me and Jake were going on the road together and doing this a lot, is we started doing that because it's like, hey, we're both headlining, but we're not headlining enough. So let's do this together so we can both do like the more time and we both keep each other sharp. And that's like, traditionally, that's like how I've tried to do it ever since. Like when I do stuff with Cam Bertrand, we go and co-headline because it's like, hey, let's do these together and keep each other sharp. It's almost like a, hey, let's keep each other honest. It's quality 100%. Assurance, you know?
And it's camaraderie. And like we were saying, at every level, you don't get to see your homies enough. I'll tell you that right now. There's been times where I used to cram my schedule so full, it'd be like, I hope you're a comic because I'm not going to see you otherwise. I'm out here cranking, just like trying to be wherever I could be. So it's just like even seeing Bert take everybody together, it's kind of annoying when you're at a level where you want to be on that tour because you're like, well, it's just going to be the same fucking people. But then you realize as you start to grow, you're like, you can make your own festival. You can put your own ding dong friends on it, but you're already doing that at this
level. Well, and it's not always the same people. Like there's a lot of the people that, it's kind of like the same way we do it. It's like I bring a lot of the same people on the road with me because I know we have like a like-minded thing and same thing. But you do like you see where he'll like he's mixing it up and he's bringing like other people and different people because he's wanting to give those people those same opportunities.
Which is great.
But if you like what you saw here, subscribe to the Patreon for more exclusive content. An extra 30 minutes of unhingedness. And you can get that at patreon.com/TardationNation. And you can follow me and find out where all I'm going to be at Sydney Stevens Comedy.
I am at Handerpump Rules. The 18th when AJ's out with Cam is my 41st birthday and I will be in the midst of a run in Minnesota. So come and see me co-headline with Emma Dahlenberg. And yeah, just follow us, check it out. Listen, the 30 minutes is awesome. It's actually informative. Not that they aren't always.
Tegan, guide through the Pacific Northwest with us on our Patreon at patreon.com/TardationNation. See you guys next week.
What in tarnation?